I think Daniel's sitting in a corner.
Yeah.
Perfectly centered. I find it aesthetically pleasing. No, it's Daniel. He's not in the shot right now, but it looks like he's got the corner like perfectly centered on his screen. We still got the Williamses. Surprise, surprise. And George, are you working with Jose to get him connected? We thought we might have heard earlier.
Yeah, we sent it to him, but I can send it again.
Has he used it before?
Oops, no. Okay.
My notebook. It's under yours. And I guess my phone's in my Bible. Oh, we are starting. Should I go ahead and get started, or should we wait for the Williamses? Should we go ahead and start up? So Anne's mom and dad, what are your names? I don't keep calling you Anne's mom and dad. May and Rick. Yeah. Yeah, George. They'll probably join us some of
Yeah.
them. All right, well, I think we're ready. Oh, wait, we just got somebody else added to the party. You got it in the nick of time. All right, well, good morning, everybody. My name is Dorothy, to anyone who does not know me. And I would like to share a scripture to get us started this morning. That scripture is actually in Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. That's Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord their God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. As we pray, there's going to be a lot of prayer requests this morning. If you do want them in writing, I can send them to you. Just let me know. Father God, we come before you in a time of a lot of uncertainty, God, but we can have your word to hold on to and be certain of, Lord. We thank you so much for this passage in Revelation that tells us there will be time of healing and there will be a time of light and there will be a time where these worries are no more, God. Lord, we thank you that today we get to come to you, God, just laying our hearts bare before you and presenting to you all our wants and our needs. And our fears and our concerns, God, in this time. And we thank you that you take them and you listen to them and you act on them, God. So we lift up to you, Lord. We lift up to you, Jose, that his leg would continue healing, Lord. We pray for the Ramirez's, that Cindy would continue in good health, God, that you would protect her. As someone who's particularly vulnerable. Lord, we pray also for her father, who is also vulnerable just due to his age, God. We pray that you would protect him, comfort him, and give him peace in this time. Lord, we pray for George as he's looking for a new job, God. We pray that you give him patience and guidance as he leads his family through this time. And we pray that his left arm would... that the pain would go away and it would be completely healed up. Lord, we pray for Anne, for her friends and family, Lord. We pray for May and Rich, that they would be strong and healthy in this time, Lord. And we pray also for her in-laws, that they would be protected. Lord, we pray for the health of Sandy and Brenda Fuller, God. We pray for Brandy. Especially with her father-in-law and everything that he's going through, God, and the fact that right now as his time is approaching, God, it seems they may not be able to even have the normal send-off. They may not be able to have a funeral as they normally would, God. I pray you would provide them another way to, I pray you would provide a way for them to be able to say goodbye, to be able to show him how loved he is, God. And I pray you give them peace in the midst of all this. Lord, we pray for Hope's home that has been damaged by all the flooding in Columbus, God. We pray that you would take care of her and everything that needs to be replaced, God. I pray you would just provide for that situation. Lord, we pray for Daniel and Corey as well, that they have safe travels home, God. They get to go be with their family, Lord, and we pray that you would give them spiritual strength, God, as the environments change, God, and the people around them change. Lord, it can be very overwhelming. It can be a big challenge to their faith, but God, we also know that you will not abandon them, and it can be a great time for their faith to grow and for them to grow in their relationships with their family, to grow closer, and to just be there for their parents and their siblings in this time, Lord. We pray that you would guide them and lead them through all that. Lord, we pray for the Williams family, God, that there would be harmony in the homeschool situation, that you would help the boys to let go of what they're used to school being and to embrace that their mother is giving them the best that she can. Pray that you would help them to still be learning a lot during this time, God, and I pray that it could be some of the best education that they ever get. Lord, we pray that this time would be a time for the whole family to draw closer, God, draw closer to each other and draw closer to you. Lord, I pray for my own small family here, God. We've been praying all this year for us to build a strong foundation in our first year of marriage, God, and we're already going through quite a bit, God. We pray that you would help us to continue building a firm foundation on you. And Lord, we pray for my health issues, God. We pray that they would resolve themselves, that they would go away, God. I really don't want to be a burden on the healthcare system at this time, and it seems that my problems are not as big as some are going to be, God. So pray you just be with me during this time and heal me up, God, please. Lord, we pray for Lou, that you would keep her healthy during this time. Protect her husband as well, God, as he's going through terminal cancer, God. We pray that you'd be with them and comfort them and provide for them every need that they have, God. I pray that you give them peace despite everything going on. And Lord, we pray for the whole country, God. We pray for the leadership, God, that you would help them to be selfless and discerning, God. I know that people are going to disagree about how to go about things, God, but I pray that you can help them to be unified regardless, God, and to all seek out the benefit of the people first. Lord, we pray for the public that you'd help keep us sane. God, we know that sometimes the fear is much worse than the illness itself, God, and we pray that you'd help everyone to stay calm and just do what they can, Lord. We pray for those who are continuing to work, the police, the firefighters, the volunteers, the direct service personnel, and especially those working in healthcare, God. We pray that you keep them safe. We pray that you be with them this time, giving them the strength and the mental and emotional stamina that they need. God, we pray for your church, that you'd be with us during this time. Give us strength. Help us to rely on you and not be afraid. We pray for those who are taking healthcare online, God. We thank you for them. We thank you for the people who have the heart and the know-how to do that, God. And we thank you so much for the creativity that you've given man to be able to do these different things. God, we know that this is a time for change, Lord, and we pray that it would be a time for people to turn to you, to turn to one another, and that we as a people would repent of anything we need to repent of greed, selfishness, pride, and putting anything before you, Lord. We pray that you would help us to leave behind these things that really don't have value, God, and instead pursue you wholeheartedly through whatever storms life may bring. Pray these things in Jesus' name. if you have unleavened bread, crackers, anything like that, or grape juice, now would be the time to take communion.
All right, for those that have video capability, if you could do a thumbs up if you can hear me okay, just to make sure. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, George. All right. If you could turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. That's Titus chapter 3. It's a letter that Paul wrote to Titus, to the churches that Titus was overseeing at the time in Crete. So while we're all adjusting to this new time with service being through video or conference call, this chapter reminds us to be ready for every good work. That'd be the title I give this, be ready for every good work. So starting off this chapter, if you look at verses 1 and 2, Paul reminds Titus a few things and reminds people of a few things. It says in verse chapter 1, reading from the NIV, the New International Version, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. Be ready to do whatever is good. To slander no one, be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. So Paul starts off with reminding the disciples, the Christians, to be subject to rulers and authorities and be submissive to them, especially during this time. Our leaders are trying to do the best they can to keep everybody safe that is in their jurisdiction, whether that's our local county, town, village, our state legislators, our governor, and as well as our national leaders as well. We're called to obedience, and we're called also to be ready to do whatever is good. That changes, I think, quite a bit depending on the circumstances. You know, whatever is good can be not in the sense that society changes what is good and what is not, but I mean as far as biblically what changes. Whatever is good, depending on our circumstances, especially even during this time, you know, what may be good and helpful is different than if, you know, a couple weeks ago. You know, whether that's bringing cleaning supplies to, you know, you wouldn't normally bring cleaning supplies to one of your neighbors, but now you might do that. You might not normally bring groceries to a neighbor right next door, but now you might do that because either they might be infected, they might have some sort of terminal illness, or they might just not be able to go out because of the situation. So these are the things that we need to be looking out for, I think, in order to fulfill what Paul is trying to address here. Verse 2, to slander no one and be peaceable and considerate. These things are always good, but these things of themselves help to show others that we're different. Society loves to talk, you know, blasphemously or ill of other people when they're not present. But we're called to not do that at all to anybody, let alone other Christians. And slander is speaking not speaking ill, but like speaking falsely about somebody. So we're called not to do that. And it says, "Be gentle toward everyone." Other translations say, "Show a true humility to everybody," or to show perfect courtesy. This is a high calling because it's not easy to do this toward our enemies and toward those that were maybe not favorable to us. But we're called to do that for everyone, regardless of whatever social or economical stance they are, whatever, especially during this time, how divisive it can be, whatever race they may be, whether we like them or not, we're called to we have that courtesy, that humility, that gentleness toward everyone. And Paul, this is the reminder. So I would say this is like the what are we supposed, what does God expect of us to do? And verse 3 transitions into the why. Why are we supposed to do what verses 1 and 2 have called us to do? So verse 3. At what time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So why are we called to do all these things, to be subject to our rulers' authorities, to be obedient, to do whatever is good, to not slander, to be peaceful and considerate, and to be gentle toward everybody? It's because of what Christ did for us, because we know what our lives once were like when we were not Christians, when we weren't following God. We know what it is to be engulfed in sin, and that living the way we used to live, hating other people, hating one another, having, you know, being malicious toward people, and envious, didn't get us much of anywhere. Only by doing the things that Paul encouraged Titus to remind the people of in the churches in Crete can we truly save others, to show others that we're different. And we're called to this because of what Christ has done for us. As Patrick highlighted in the communion, Jesus went through a lot, even before he was crucified, and even more still when he was crucified. And that showed kindness and love that God had and that Jesus had for humanity and has for us. And that gave us the ability to be saved. And it wasn't because of anything we did, any righteous things that we have done or will do, but it was completely because of his mercy and because of his grace. And it says in verse 5 that this was through the Holy Spirit, which we received and were reborn through him. Sorry. I think it's important that we remember that it was through no works of our own that we have done or will do. But it was through Jesus and through his grace that all the works that we do, all the good works that we do now, are because of his grace that he has afforded to us. Looking at verse 8, it says, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. So he says this saying is trustworthy. It's reliable. It's faithful. And I think anytime there is a statement like this, it's important to ask the question, well, why is it important to affirm these things that Paul highlights in the previous verses constantly? And he answers that in the next statement. It's so that we that believe would be able to give extra thought and give devotion, give diligent practice to the good that is profitable for everyone, and not just ourselves, not just other disciples, but to everyone. Because if we do the good that is profitable for everyone, it helps others be inspired to do those same things. Helps people to see that we're different. And maybe we can feel limited during this time when we're all cooped up at home. A lot of us that have jobs still are working from home. And, you know, maybe all that we can do is work from home and take care of our families, and that's fine. But we can still show excellence in our work and diligently lead the families that God has given us. You know, it's always a temptation to be less productive at home. My boss reminded me every day, he's like, okay, the expectation is that you're still productive, as productive as you were at work all day. And that's true. And maybe that means putting in more time, but that's what we have to do. That's to be examples. We need to have that diligence and remember that, you know, we need to be examples of good works, and remember that we need to devote ourselves to these things. So this is what I wanted to share with you guys today, to be ready to do every good work, especially during these times. It's going to look different than what we normally expect. But remember, that is what we're called to do as Christians. Remember why we're doing it, because of the lives that we once had before we became Christians, that Christ died and we were saved through his grace and his sacrifice on the cross, and that our works should be good and profitable and excellent for everyone, be wholesome because of what he's done for us. And through these works, whether they're for our immediate family only, and we can talk about them later, or whether they're shown through the acts that we give to our neighbors, and or even our extended families during this time, these will hopefully lead those that don't yet believe in God to Christ. And if we continue to practice practice this good, we will win more people to Christ. And it will be a reflection of the faith that we have in God. So as we go about our day today, go about our week, whatever changes, remember that we're still called to good works. We're called to show humility toward others, be gentle toward everyone, and to have love for everyone and to be considerate of others' needs. So thank you everyone for joining. Thank you for listening to this, and I hope that you can review Titus 3 verses 1 to 8 in your free time after this, and as this week progresses, to be reminded of these things. We'll transition now to a reflection from Daniel, and we'll have some announcements from Corey, and then we'll have one last song, It Is Well With My Soul.
Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Daniel.
Good next Sunday, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
John, fine. Morning, John. Welcome, John.
Uh-oh.
Way to throw on this. Welcome. Thanks for joining.
Bye.